The people in hyperinflationary countries such as Iran, Venezuela, or Indonesia, really interesting to me, because it really shows, you know, how the progress of Bitcoin education advances there. And so I'm really looking forward to speak to Dia Retskitska. She is an amazing educator, podcaster. Her podcast channel is My Bitcoin Story. And she's also been on Max Kaiser's show, done interviews with Robert Breedlove. And really love her comments on Twitter. Very insightful, very deep. So yeah, without further ado, this is my talk with Dia Retskitska. Let me know if you have any questions. I'm really looking forward to that. If you do love this episode as much as I will, please give it not only a like, but a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or iTunes. Thank you so much. And here you go, Dia Retskitska.
Hi, Dia. How are you doing? Welcome to the show.
I'm good. Yeah, thank you. Thank you for inviting me to the show.
Yeah, sure. Dia, I've been following you, watching your, also your, the interview, great interview, by the way, with Robert Breedlove. And and also, of course, on Max Kaiser's show, really interesting stuff you put out there also content-wise. So you're pretty like multifaceted, like you're a blogger, you're an educator, definitely a Bitcoin educator, blogger, YouTuber. Can you like tell my listeners a little bit about your background, like your journey before, how you got into Bitcoin and before and now?
Yeah, it's very interesting because my journey into Bitcoin was actually started in 2016. And it was really random, like there is a Bitcoin ATM in Bali and then in this one of the co-working space. And then I'm just like curious and you decided to just put $10 worth of Indonesian rupiah and then exchange to Bitcoin. And then I thought like, wow, this internet money is really interesting. And at that time I was just starting my business and I can see like how Bitcoin really helps me in the hard time, you know, like when you start doing business, like sometimes you have clients, sometimes you don't. And Bitcoin at that time, 2017, that's like the bull run. So like, yeah, I was like getting a lot of help from Bitcoin. And I even like accepting payment through Bitcoin, etc. So like my first journey is just like being using Bitcoin and then getting profit out of it. But when I started to go into the rabbit hole is actually in 2020, last year, when my business stopped because it's related to tourism, and in Bali, like everything is all about tourism. So like, I'm just trying to think like, what should we do to prevent stuff like this to happen? And I own Bitcoin, but I wasn't really thinking about that much. But then I used the time that I haven't had. So I just used that time to really study about Bitcoin. And then it's just blow my mind, like, you know, listening to different podcasts, Robert Breedlove, and then reading books like the Bitcoin Standard, it just like opened my mind. And it was really funny because I was just like sharing it with my friends. I you know, just like posting random stuff on Instagram and also Twitter, but a lot of people liking it. So then I decided to like, hey, let's just get together and then talk about Bitcoin. And that's how Class Bitcoin started. So I just run like a weekly education about Bitcoin, whatever I learn, because I think like the best way to learn something is actually to teach. So then like if people doesn't get it, so I mean like I'm not clear enough. And it was really interesting because the people who attend the weekly class through Class Bitcoin, it's just very different age categories. So there's like millennials, but there's also like people above 50 years old. So it's interesting to see a different view of Bitcoin from different age brackets.
Well, that's interesting journey. So a lot of people Because this is what I hear from other people too, that they use sort of the time, you know, during the lockdown or whatever, you know, this corona COVID hysterical thing that's going on, and really had the opportunity for the first time, you know, to go into the rabbit hole. So what I'm interested, what's the sentiment of the people that's coming to you for, you know, for getting education and informing themselves, like demographic wise, like you just mentioned there are different ages, you know, different people, like what kind of intention or motivation are they coming to you?
Well, of course, motivation is to get money. Like a lot of Indonesian during this corona time, they, like a lot of people got fired from their job, or like their business got stopped. So they need to find different ways to make money. And in Indonesia, like I think in the past 2-3 years, investment, like stock investment is growing in Indonesia. So people are looking for different like alternative of how I can invest money so then I can get money quickly. But this is the hardest part of the education to make an understanding that Bitcoin is for long run. It's not like a get rich quick kind of thing, yeah, scheme kind of thing. So I think my angle or like my focus is to really teach people about saving, getting trendy right now. So a lot of people think about trading and yeah, and get money quickly. But people who attended my classes, normally they just really curious about what is this Bitcoin, why everyone is talking about it, and you know, why all these companies are start, you know, investing in Bitcoin when they read the news and they don't understand. And especially because the entry point is very much like a trading focus, so it's too much going on the crypto exchange platform. So they just want to know which, like, you know, how they can invest their money safely at the moment, and also for the future if they need to. If, yeah, like let's say this thing happened again, COVID happened again, they need to be prepared.
What's the population size of Indonesia?
We are roughly around 300 million.
Wow.
Okay. Yeah. And then it's very interesting because from 300 million, there's like 180 million are internet user.
Mm-hmm.
And we are like the largest in Southeast Asia when it comes to internet users. So stuff in internet really picks up in Indonesia quickly. If there is an actor or famous Indonesian celebrity who's using it, everyone is gonna use it. So okay. So yeah, I mean, like, I think right now also because Elon Musk just buy Bitcoin and everyone knows about Elon Musk, I get a lot of like question about Bitcoin.
Oh, I can imagine. Yeah, that must be a boost to the, yeah, to the, what do you call it, to the you know, spreading of the it's a trend probably for a lot of people. But is there an estimate, like how many people of the 300 million people are, let's just say, really just on Bitcoin only, or just, you know, at least started investing into Bitcoin? Are there any estimates for Indonesia?
That's very hard to answer. Like, I mean, at least the data that I got, I was just talking to the CEO of Pintu. Pintu is like one of the crypto exchange in Indonesia. And then they say like, right now it's only like roughly around 1 million people like using crypto exchange, but I mean their target is like to get like 10 million, at least like 10% of people. But there is actually some kind of experiment that I think 2 years ago someone just like trying to introduce like this token to Indonesia. Like there's a small group of people whenever, like, you know, you get someone to join the token, then they get like 5 more. And they do this like in they did this in the many countries, but Indonesia is like ranked number one as the biggest spread of this token. So I believe that the mass adoption is coming in Indonesia, but it just takes time and it takes a lot of education, because in Indonesia, when it comes to things in internet or investment is very like a lot of people doesn't really understand about investment. Like the financial literacy is not very good in here. So yeah, just to educate people why it's important to invest and which are the product that you need to invest, because there's a lot of scam. So yeah. That's the biggest hurdle, which is education.
Yeah, that's a classical problem, unfortunately, everywhere. Just, you know, people, there's always people trying to take advantage of the lack of the knowledge of people. So do you, like, what is it economically? What, do you have inflation? Like, or do people feel the pain, economical pain, or what's the social economical situation in Indonesia?
So in 1998, we are actually going through a hyperinflation. Like in Indonesia right now, the smallest coin is 100 rupiah, and then like 100,000 rupiah, that's equal to $8.
Wow.
So yeah. we got this hyperinflation happen in 1998, and we are kind of like riding the hyperinflation, but actually if I read the data, the inflation rate is going down.
How much is it? Do you know how much it is? Like,
I need to check that again. Okay. But I think less than 2%, but it was actually improvement, because the inflation is actually going down in 2020, but that's before COVID. We haven't had the new data right now after COVID, but at least, I mean, I'm just like looking at and in the market. Yeah. Like,
okay.
Like how much is the price of tomato and all this thing? It's going yeah, up. So,
exactly.
Yeah. Maybe like when I have better data, I can present that.
Yeah. Because, you know, I mean, the mainstream economics, they're trying to somehow deceive the public with the consumer price index, which is not the real inflation rate, as you know, and it's much higher, especially when you look, you know, it's of course different forms of inflation, asset inflation, monetary inflation, you know, product, whatever, consumer goods inflation, but it's very deceptive how, you know, how the story is being told. So there you have a lot of, I mean, of educational resources. Do you want to talk about a little bit about your podcast, about like you're also a DJ on the side, I think. That's awesome. That's really amazing. You have a blog, a YouTube channel, which I've already subscribed on. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I just like to learn new things, and the podcast that I'm doing is called My Bitcoin Story, and it was actually started when I met Robert Breedlove when he mm-hmm. was visiting here in Bali.
Uh-huh.
And then we were like just talking and just like, oh yeah, let's do a podcast. And I thought like, what kind of a podcast that I need to do? And I think, I mean, everyone is, when they talk about Bitcoin, they talk a lot about, you know, economy and fiat and all this thing. But I feel like, if you talk about Bitcoin from a personal story, from your own personal journey, I think people can relate that more often. And especially if after doing like several episodes right now, I interview a lot of people, I see like there is like this similar journey, how people got into Bitcoin. They buy Bitcoin and then they start trading it, and then they start going into the shitcoin rabbit hole as well, and then lost money, and in the end all this path will gonna it back to Bitcoin again. So I think that's very interesting. Yeah, I just like to learn a lot about stuff, and I think the more you learn about Bitcoin, the more you can see how Bitcoin is actually present in many aspect of life, kind of mm-hmm. like that. I like I watched the talk between Ross Stephen and Michael Saylor, and he said Ross Stephen said when you start learning about Bitcoin, you think in Bitcoin.
Exactly. And I think, yes. It's a language. Yeah.
It's
totally.
Like a language.
You feel the language. You behave maybe even differently. You maybe even your gestures, your mimics. I mean, everything. Your thoughts and emotions just change, right?
I mean, money is like something that we interact with money all the time, and it's encoded in us. So when we learn about different type of money, then we also encode it different. Yeah, we need to rewire our brain as well. And I think it's very fascinating, like this this new technology, this new money, Bitcoin.
You made some really interesting, Twitter comments or threads. One aspect I want to talk to you about, which I already, had written to you about, is this this yin and yang, or, the feminine and masculine, but maybe more on a still, let's just stay on the material, monetary, structural level. Because, mm-hmm. I don't have to tell you, there's an unbelievable, not only inequality, but like disbalance in the monetary, economical, social structures. Like if you look at all the mm-hmm. The central banks, the financial whatever megalomania corporate complex, the economy is all like dominated by men. Do you see, like, if I ask you like about your vision, do you have a vision like when it comes to the balancing out of the masculine, if you want to call it like feminine and masculine energy and spirit, to to finally create a balance in the structures, like when it comes to, let's just say, technological innovation, production, creativity, there should be like a balance, but it's definitely not. Like it's all the structures are dominated and owned and controlled by men to 95%. Do you have an opinion on that?
Well, first of all, I think yin and yang is very fascinating. It's just about like, you are dancing between these two different energy. And if you balance, if you are in balance, then you create a harmony, then life will be much easier and everything will run smoothly. And in Chinese medicine, even they say like if yin is mostly, we can say like a feminine energy, but it's also like dark or cold, and yang is like more heat and masculine and action, kind of like that. And if you are too much in yin or too much in yang, then you will get sick. And I think that our current economies right now is too much on the yang side and not in the yin side, or like basically there is imbalance in there. So and it's not only just because there's a lot of men in the economy, in the economy world, but every person has their own both masculine and feminine energy. And I also see this in Bitcoin, like in my Twitter thread, like I see that Bitcoin actually try to balance this out, because there are, I don't know, like there's a certain aspect of like, there's no such thing as right and wrong, I have to say. There's only just a spectrum, kind of like that. So like for example, like, in terms of economy, right? When you say yin, like there's a lot of about things like uncertainties or risk or volatility. That's like a yin market energy. But like in yang energy, that's like more about stabilize optimism, you know, of seeing in the future, kind of like that. And you can see that, you know, it's in Bitcoin, the price is very volatile. It's like so much uncertainty. Oh my God, will the price goes up tomorrow? Will I, or will it go down? You know, like everyone is always so anxious. But you zoom out and you see the yearly chart is actually really optimistic. Like it's always goes up. Or also like in economy, like, because like yin is like female energy, so there's all about like collaboration, you know, embracing. And then yang, you know, the male energy is like about competition, right? And then you can also see in Bitcoin, all the nodes are collaborate together to share the ledger, but they are competing with each other to get the reward of Bitcoin, you know. So I think it's very cool to see how this play out. And we also need to be very, as someone who use Bitcoin, we also need to balance, to be balanced, you know, like if we are feeling, let's say, if I could come back again to like, you know, about the market volatility, and then if you are too much focusing on that, you will lose sight of the yang energy. So we have to be able to see both sides. So it's never like only black and white, kind of like that.
Yeah, I totally agree with you that in every human being, with a man, woman, or whatever, there's this, you know, there's both like feminine and masculine energy, spirit, even hormones. Yeah, the reason I'm asking you is that, you know, I mean, you must have a vision, like you must have some kind of imagination, vision, or desire, dream, what a Bitcoinized or hyper-Bitcoinized world could look like on a social level, you know, on an interactive level, on an economical, even spiritual, technological level, especially, which really is highly of interest to me, because, you know, I've always asked myself, why isn't there, you know, in any other aspect of our existence, of our technological things going on, not much progress or innovation going on. So I see more women than coming in, and, you know, and as you said, you know, women have a different approach to things, right? They, mm-hmm. you know, whatever that is, you know, like more cooperation, collaboration, more creativity. So it's this, yeah, it's this balancing out of yin and yang, which I wanted to talk to you about. Like, what is your vision? Like, do you see like a hyper Bitcoinized world in 10 or 20 years or sooner or later?
Well, this is just my personal opinion. I mean, I'm not expert, but I think we are moving towards the hyper Bitcoinization era with like, if I mean, like I said before, like our current economy is actually sick. Like, you know, we are too much focusing on like, like not focusing on both of the yin and yang. Like we are either like the government printing too much money. They don't use logic. They just like, they just like use like the feeling of like, yeah, and we need to print more money because we can, kind of like that. And not seeing in the logical side, or like, oh yeah, we need to embrace everyone, and everyone needs to have a universal basic income. But they didn't see like, you know, there is an aspect of how do we gonna pay this, like, you know, this sort of stuff. So I think like in the world of hyper Bitcoinization, I think people will be seeing and then do the economy activity in more balanced way, at least, because like it's not only just, there is a productivity aspect in Bitcoin, but there's also an aspect of like saving and all this thing, right? Like if you talk about like the current economy, everything is all about debt. So like people are spending, and they don't have saving. And then I think that's the point of like to start a family, you need to kind of like creating a legacy and then save something. But if you are like in the economy where everything that you do is always about spending because you are in debt, then you will not creating a legacy, you will not continue having a family. And I see this like also in many like Bitcoiners, like people in Bitcoin, people who are like in Bitcoin, or like people in Twitter, Bitcoin Twitter, they look like really all about doom and gloom. They're like, oh yeah, the whole economy is gonna collapse, blah blah blah, but they're actually very optimistic people, and they have family, and they see the future, they see a hope in the future, in as compared to I don't know, people who are not going into Bitcoin. They see like, oh my god, this is the end of the world, what's the point of having family, kind of like that. And I think the purpose, again, like if you see microeconomy, we also need to see microeconomy. So the purpose of like the continuation of economy is from a family first, and you need to see a brighter future by changing your monetary system.
Mm-hmm. And do you mean like by microeconomy, like local, more localized, more independent, more decentralized economies? Which I want to talk to you about is also, you know, the, like, do you have a vision, like, for, because there's a lot of talk, you know, in the Bitcoin community about citadels of free private cities. You know, I've had some conversations with Jeff Booth and Titus Gable of Free Private Cities, really fascinating. And I read his book, and like, do you have a vision for that? Like, where people can finally, you know, withdraw themselves from this legacy system and just create, to build their own decentralized, totally detached from the legacy system. Is that something you can aspire to?
I think like we see right now, even like during COVID time, like people are start choosing their side, kind of like that, like whether they want to be in the side of you know, like this economy that will gonna collapse soon, or people who choose that, okay, like there's an alternative and I want to build something better, right? And we already see stuff like this start happening with like a little community, like self-sustaining communities that have their own water, they have their own electricity and food. I think it's just a matter of, it will be like very natural, you know, natural movement. Once you get to know about Bitcoin, you will start rethink about your life, reprioritize your life a little bit. And then, it's just going to weave into like this community. And I don't know if it's going to be a city or a citadel or whatever, but at least it will be a community driven. People will build something exciting, you know, in the new economy, I think.
Do you think it will, because there's a lot of, you know, even hardcore Bitcoiners, they say that we're still sort of in a honeymoon phase of Bitcoin, or I would call it romantic phase. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I mean, what we are up to is actually against, this is the separation, final frontier, like the separation of money versus state. We're talking about, an unbelievable, you know, extremely powerful fiat system, central banks, state nations, nation states, and the military industrial complex. Do you think, what is the transition phase? What kind of transition phase do you see? I mean, what kind of battle, if you want to call it, are we up to?
It's hard to see the future, as I'm not like a psychic, but I see, it's interesting. It's a very interesting question, like how we can see the futures plays out. But my prediction is it's not going to be pretty, for sure. There will be a lot of, Bitcoiner will be faced with a lot of hard choices, and then there will be a restriction in the movement, like in the money, in the movement and everything. And people just need to be prepared, start at least as I can think, move your money and do self-custody for your own Bitcoin. And then really, really take security and privacy seriously for your for your money. And but I also believe that because Bitcoin is all about decentralization, it's a trustless system, and so it's also anti-fragile. People will adapt to that. There is a famous quote by what is that guy, the one in from Jurassic Park, who say life will find its way, something like that.
Oh, so funny.
So I think the same thing, like Bitcoin will find its way. People who still believe in Bitcoin will find their way. I mean, Satoshi Nakamoto not only just give us you know, Bitcoin, but it's also plant us the idea of a decentralized money that I don't think this is ever come across in anyone's mind, that, you know, you can decentralize money in this with the current technology that we have. And technology is just gonna grow. Technology, I mean, it is just a tool, but you can either use it to control more people or create a freedom. So again, it come back to the principle of Bitcoin. It's all about choices, right? Like, you choose to enter, you choose to buy Bitcoin, you choose to hold your Bitcoin, and you choose to, yeah, you choose to use Bitcoin, I guess, like for your life.
Awesome. Can I ask you, like, what is your, like, your friends, family react to you, like, when you tell them about Bitcoin? Is that too personal? Or no?
No, it's funny, because in the beginning, it's a very interesting journey, because, like, I you know, when I was, like, sharing stuff about Bitcoin, and people were like, make fun of me, like, oh yeah, Dea is just all about Bitcoin right now. But I just don't care. I think whatever I shared, there must be someone who will be intrigued by it, or like become curious and then want to ask. And it's true. Like, every at least every week, I will get, like, one of my friends will message me, random friend from elementary school or like a university, just message me. But I found it very interesting within my family, because I keep talking about Bitcoin over and over again. My sister, she's a doctor, and you know, like, as a doctor, you normally you don't want to think too much about investment. I mean, they got paid really well, and then they it's not very much of their priorities. But as soon as I'm like talking about Bitcoin, and then during this whole COVID thing, doctors also got affected with the whole the economy is slowing down, so obviously the income is slowing down as well. So my sisters actually start to invest on Bitcoin, like buying Bitcoin, and then I tell her to, you know, DCA the every day, kind of like that, and she see, like, the amount of money that she put into Bitcoin has actually surpassed her salary, even like for 2-3 months.
Really?
And my mom, yeah. And then my mom start talking about Bitcoin to her relative. I thought that's kind of awesome. I think, and you can also see that, you know, people, like, I think the smallest unit is actually from your family. And once your family start to get it, they can tell their relative will get it, and then it's just
going
to spread.
All
from
of a sudden,
there,
we have a credibility more, you know, like, like, okay. So, do they see that? Like, do they understand, like, the store of value function of Bitcoin? Or is it just because they see there's some kind of investment? Is that?
It's a slow process, right? Mm-hmm. But I guess right now, like, at least in my family, they see it, you know, as Bitcoin is actually a better saving technology than just, you know, save your money in bank, because they see, like, oh, you know, during this whole COVID time, actually the interest rate is not, you know, it's not really helpful. Like right now, prices going up, like they're so, like their savings dry up, stuff like that. So when they start even just a small amount of Bitcoin that they put and then it's actually growing, they see like, oh yeah, rather than me saving my money in bank, maybe I should just save my money in Bitcoin, you know? And I think for me, it's just like, try to educate slowly from just saving your money, not trading it, because, you know, immediately people, when they see like the money go up and then they see like, oh, there's different coins, and then they try to ask me like, okay, which other coin that I need to invest? Like, I'm just, no, just focus on Bitcoin, just DCA and everything is going to be okay.
Like yin and yang, you know, yeah. Like keep your balance.
Keep your balance, yeah. If you want to try, it's okay, but just put like, you know, maybe $10 and then
yeah,
forget about it.
Yeah, you're right. You know, I mean, you mentioned it just before that, you know, every person goes through an educational journey, you know, whatever that is, shitcoin area. I even traded at the beginning, like 2016-17, you know, because I didn't understand like whole tokenization, ICO bullshit. It's just, you know, you get trapped into this whole thing, but then you stay in for the principles, for the ethos, for the ethics, or for the vision of it. And, you know, for a much bigger picture, what Bitcoin, you know, is made of. So do you think that, you know, as soon as people go through these cycles, if you want to call it, of phases, you know, of FUD and of uncertainty and fear, uncertainty, doubt, and maybe even go through a cycle, whatever, halving cycle, and they see, you know, they witness for themselves, because they have for the first time skin in the game, they see, you know, it just exponentially like growing and growing and growing, right? It's just a vertical curvature. Do you think that this will eventually, you know, extrapolate to other people too, much faster, when it comes to education, to knowledge, to taking action?
I think that's why, coming back to your question about Citadel and community, like, you know, be part of the community, and then, because it's easy to get lost, I guess, if you are start buying like shitcoin and then like go, you know, get trapped into FOMO and FUD. If you don't have a community that also focusing on Bitcoin and then like really understand the fundamental of why you should buy Bitcoin and why it's important to you, then it's easy to get trapped in the fear cycle. I think as a Bitcoiner, people who are already went through all these cycles and understand, I think it is everyone, I won't say responsibility, but it's a part. If you really like Bitcoin, then you should also create like this community around you and try to educate them, because then maybe some people will give up, maybe more people will joining in, like we don't know, right? And I think that's also the beauty of Bitcoin, because there is no Bitcoin marketer. There is no Bitcoin salesperson. Everyone is the marketer. So, yeah.
I've seen you on Twitter, like you've also translated, I think, Gigi's, because I've known him now for a long time. And what are your like your favorite educators, and why do you think they are the best educators when it comes to like translating this knowledge, this comprehensive knowledge, you know, about Bitcoin, because it's so vast, it's so deep, this whole, you know, rabbit hole. Who are they? If you want to like whatever, give a shout out to them.
There's a lot. I really like Gigi. When he writes stuff, he's like, you know, writing in a very personal level, and then like he is able to explain very complicated technical stuff into something that we can understand. And I really like you know, Robert Breedlove for his meta, like observant thinking, not only just like seeing it, like, you know, in the surface level, but also like very deep level. Safeden Amos, Safeden Amos. Very confusing how to pronounce his name, but yeah, his Bitcoin Standard book is I think it's like the book that everyone should read, definitely. I mean, there's a lot of people, Nick Carter as well, like he's always very cool in like, you know, take on like different debate with like Bitcoin naysayer, you know.
Yeah, he's amazing. The guy's so intelligent. Sometimes I'm wondering how do they channel all this knowledge, this intelligence into the brain, you know? It's incredible.
But this is very interesting about Bitcoin, because there's so many entry points, there's so many things that you need to learn, and you just like didn't get bored of it, you know, like, and everything else is just like everything that you learn suddenly come back to the core principle of Bitcoin, which is like, you know, decentralized and scarce. And I can see that there will be more and more people, more and more thinker out, you know, out there that will contribute to the Bitcoin space. And we are learning as we go. Together we learn.
So listen, I really enjoyed this talk, but I wanna wrap this up still and go back to a little bit, or extend a little bit the point I was trying to make, like with the vision. Like if you wanted to make like a commercial or a short video, how would you translate that, you know, the beauty of Bitcoin, like what it can create, what it can, you know, cause a chain reaction of prosperity, abundance, technological innovation, freedom, decentralization, whatever you, how would you pack this into a video or into a message, you know, for the people, let's say in Indonesia?
Okay. This is a very tough question.
Yeah. And you have like 3 minutes, like 3 or 5 minutes video.
Oh wow, okay, I let me think. Well, I think what really struck me actually, that Bitcoin is actually the best store of value that you can possibly have, because it's only 21 million. And everything is divided into 21 million. So it's an infinity that is divided into 21 million in comparison to our current money, whether you are a billionaire like Jeff Bezos or trillionaire, yeah? And trillionaire divided into infinity is zero, and infinity divided into 21 million is, yeah, it's infinity basically. Like your value is gonna go up. So I think Bitcoin is the perfect representation of human possibilities, because human we have a lot of we spend a lot of like our time and energy into creating something beautiful, and this is actually very valuable. Like human time and energy is very valuable, and the only way for you to measure that is actually to put into something that has really unlimited value, because the value is always going to go up. Like, you know, how Mona Lisa painting is like being enjoyed for centuries is because the brilliance of human ingenuity, and that value need to be also stored in some kind of a money that will not devalue like our current system. I think that's it.
No, beautifully put. Well said. Yeah. So yeah, there are any final thoughts, like if you want to like give us or mention your podcast, your Twitter handle or whatever?
For those who enjoy or like want to listen about different stories about Bitcoin journey, you can check out my podcast channel called My Bitcoin Stories in Spotify. And then my YouTube channel is De Aris Kita, and my blog is dearskita.com. Unfortunately, it's in Bahasa Indonesia, so this is for for Indonesian viewer. But maybe I'm thinking about also writing something in English as well. And for those listener who are in Indonesia, you can also join Kelas Bitcoin. So you can follow the Twitter Kelas Bitcoin or Instagram, and also Facebook as well, Kelas Bitcoin.
Awesome. I'm going to put those all in the show notes. Well, Dea, it was really a pleasure talking to you. Hope we can,
thank you.
Maybe make it up for maybe in a panel discussion. That would be amazing with other international, whatever, global Bitcoiners. Maybe on some specific topics I have on my mind, but I'll get back to you. Well, thank you so much again, and talk to you soon. Okay?
Yeah. Thank you, Kevin. Yeah.
Bye. How'd you like that? Really enjoyed this talk with Dea Aris Kita from Indonesia. She's an amazing Bitcoin educator, podcaster, blogger. Really, she's multi-versatile. So make sure you follow her on Twitter. I'm going to put all her links on the show notes. If you have any questions, please email me at hello@thetotalconnector.com or kd@kevandavani.com. I'm the host of the podcast show and YouTube show. Now it's called the Kevan Davani Connection. Well, thank you so much again for your support and for listening, and I'll see you soon again.